Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Good morning. This is Pastor Wynn Greer, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. I do appreciate you listening in today, and I want to welcome all of our listeners here on WATA and also on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on WZAP, 690 a.m. over in the Bristol area. And we do appreciate all of our listeners. Mount Lebanon is located just outside of Boone, North Carolina, on Highway 105 South. You'd go to Baird's Creek Road. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. And if you do not have a church home, we'd love for you to come and visit with us. We have Sunday school for all ages, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and then our Sunday morning preaching and worship service is at 11 a.m. Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. we have our Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. And I've just started a study out of Isaiah chapter 9 and verses about 11 through 12. And what an interesting study that has been, talking about the bricks are falling down and relating that to 9/11. And there's just some interesting things that we've been looking at, and I have really enjoyed that study so far. So we'd love for you to come out and be with us if you don't have a church home, or if you are visiting in the area. We have quite a few visitors throughout the summer. People come to Boone and maybe on vacation, maybe stay over the weekend, and they'll come to be with us in our church services. And we always welcome everyone. We'd love for you to come and be with us. Our Vacation Bible School starts this Sunday night, June the 10th at 6 p.m. We'll have a light meal, and then at 6:30, we'll start right in. We have an adult class. I'm going to be teaching through a little book called Praying Effectively for the Lost, and it is just a great little book. We'll have room. We'd love for you to come be with us next week. I believe the adult class will start about 7 o'clock. We'll run from about 7 to 8:05, somewhere right around in there. So we'd love for you to come be with us. You can find out more information. You can call. The church phone number is 828-963-4596. 828-963-4596. And so we appreciate the opportunity to be here today on the radio broadcast. And I've been talking in the past few weeks about the progressive movement in America, the modernist movement in America. Both of these movements come up on the scene at the same time. One takes us away from where we are politically in our nation. That's the progressive movement that believes the Constitution is out of date and should be done away with and start over with something else. You know, build upon that, progress, move beyond that. That's the progressive movement, and it is very active and evident in our society today. And so we talked about the progressive movement, and then we talked also about the modernist movement in America, that at about the same time you find the rise of the progressive movement, you find the modernists who come along. And if one takes us away from our political foundation, the other removes us from our spiritual foundation. And so we see in America there's a move to change the Word of God, alter the Word of God, the many new Bible versions and revisions that have come out on the market, and basically has contributed to the fact that many people who claim to be Christians and call themselves Christians, they really have no confidence in the Bible. The Bible is not the anchor and guide of their life, but it's just, you know, it's good where it's good and take it or leave it. And so we have these two things going on in America at the same time. Last week I called that the two-pronged attack to destroy America. But today I want to do something just a little bit different. I'm going to start out by reading in Jeremiah chapter number 1, and I want to talk today about the importance of the individual, the importance of the individual in our nation, in our society, in our churches, in politics, in where you work. I mean, the importance of the individual. Now, progressivism, the beginning of the administrative state, puts the emphasis upon the collective group. Maybe you remember a few years ago, Hillary Clinton comes out, and you know, she's an expert on child rearing. No, I'm being facetious there, but you know, she coined, or she said this phrase, I don't think she coined it, but she talked about, you know, well, it takes a village to raise a child, it takes everybody to raise a child. And so the progressive movement would take the emphasis off of the importance of the individual and just lump everybody together in this huge collective effort, or this huge collective, and everybody contributing to the state, and the state is what's important. But you'll find in the founding of our nation, the emphasis was not placed upon the state as a group, but it was placed upon individuals. And you know, God deals with individuals. God uses individuals. And this really has encouraged me as I've studied, and I want to give you some thoughts about the importance of the individual. Now, in Jeremiah chapter number 1, this is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible, and this is where God calls Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a young man, probably even a teenager, or maybe early 20s, but God comes along to Jeremiah, and he calls him to be a prophet. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." And so we see there the youthfulness of Jeremiah. He opposes what the Lord says. I can't do that. I'm just a child. Then the Bible said in verse 7, "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." And I want to go back to verse number 4. Look what the Bible says. "Then the word of the Lord came unto me." And what speaks to me out of this is that it all speaks to me, but just I want to focus on what he said in verse number 4. "The Lord came unto me, saying," unto me, that's personal. And this chapter speaks to me because when I was a younger man, God used this passage of Scripture to speak to me about preaching the Word of God. This very chapter, I didn't know it was in the Bible, but I found where God came to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's his opposition to the idea or to the calling of God was, "I can't do this, I'm a child," but still the Lord spake to him as an individual, and it still speaks to me on a very personal level today, even the type of ministry that I have. I take this as a personal call of God upon my life, that I'm to do something and speak concerning the nations. Now, God doesn't call everybody to do that, but I believe with all my heart God has called me to have a little part in doing that, and I'm to speak what he says to me. Now, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I become overwhelmed at the way things are. I look, I read, I study, I pray, I preach, and sometimes it seems like all to no avail. It seems like that the flood of the enemy is so great that nothing that you do makes any difference whatsoever. I become overwhelmed at the way things are in the world, spiritually, from a pastor's viewpoint, politically, as a concerned American citizen, socially, as a parent trying to raise my children and lead them and guide them in the ways of the Lord. Economically, just trying to make it. Wondering with many other citizens in our country what is going to become of us in our nation. There are many things that concern us because the world and America and society is in a mess and seemingly just getting messier. Not seemingly getting messier, factually getting messier. Things are not getting better. Things are getting worse. Now, here's what overwhelms me so much is that I want to do something. I honestly, before God, I want to do something. I want to make a difference, but I'm just one person. What can one person do? What difference can one person make in the big picture of everything that is going on and everything that needs to be done? And my goodness, there's so much work to do in the world. What can just one person do? And I just finished up a 10-week course on the subject of the Constitution. It's an online course, and it is from Hillsdale College. And I want to say right there, I would highly recommend anybody interested in the Constitution and the founding of our nation to take this online course. Hillsdale College is one of the best colleges in the United States, as far as I'm concerned, and what they're teaching and their vision. You can go to Hillsdale, www.hillsdale, Hillsdale, and just find there's a tab, Constitution 101, the meaning and history of the Constitution, and you can take a free online course. Some of the best teachers in the nation, as far as I'm concerned, concerning the Constitution. That's the title of the course, The Meaning and History of the Constitution. But as I finished up that course yesterday and I took my final quiz, and hey, I passed, by the way, and that tickled me to death, because I'll tell you, some of the questions was it wasn't a give me, I promise you that. But anyway, I studied, took my final quiz, and I passed it. And Lord willing, I'll get my certificate and everything. But you know, there's the individual lessons. But then when I do something like that, I try to set back and ask myself the question, what did I get out of that? Sometimes I'll read a book that maybe is 500 or 600 pages long, and I'll just take away one thing from that book. And so I looked back over the course, and I studied, you know, and took my final quiz, and I sat back and I thought to myself, what did I take away from that course? And what I took away from that course really is what got me thinking about what I'm talking about today, is this: America is not the result of one person, but of individuals. Now, I am thankful we have our Jeffersons and our Madisons and our Ben Franklins and Thomas Edisons and George Washingtons and Abraham Lincolns and all of the great patriots and heroes of America. I thank God for all of them. But for every person in our history that we know about, there are hundreds and hundreds of people that we've never heard about. They're pastors, businessmen, pioneers, mothers, fathers, students. There are people in churches that were not great evangelists, but still they had an impact for good in our society, in America, for the kingdom of God, individuals that we've never, ever heard of. Is it not fitting today that the beginning of the Constitution, and originally the Constitution did not have a title? It didn't say the United States Constitution. It just began. And the way the Constitution begins is it says, we the people. It's the people. It's the individuals that make our country great. And I read there about Jeremiah. God did not call Jeremiah to save the nation. God didn't call Jeremiah to defeat the enemy or lead an army or to... God didn't call Jeremiah except to do just one thing. And he said in verse number 7, "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." That is what God called Jeremiah to do. "Whatsoever I command thee, thou shall speak. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but that really helps me, because I cannot do everything that needs to be done, and neither can you. It doesn't matter who is listening in today, how great your intellect or your energy might be. You cannot, as an individual, do everything that needs to be done. But you know what I can do? I can do what God has called me to do, and that is what I am responsible to do. Now, that'll help you in your life if you'll just do what the Lord wants you to do, and do it to the best of your ability by the grace of God. And you know, if everybody would do that, what a difference that would make in our country. Now, Ronald Reagan's first inaugural address. I was just a young boy when Ronald Reagan was voted in as the president. I remember it, but it's not a very good memory in my mind. I think I was probably 9 or 10 years old, somewhere around in there. And so I don't remember this as far as watching it or seeing it. I may have watched it, but I was reading and studying back, and this was part of our classes, the online course I was taking. There was Ronald Reagan's first inaugural address, and he cites one of our founding fathers on the eve of our struggle for independence, a Dr. Joseph Warren. Joseph Warren was the president of the Massachusetts Congress at that time. And Dr. Joseph Warren said this. He said, "Our country is in danger, but not to be despaired of. On you depend the fortunes of America. You are to decide the important questions upon which rests the happiness and the liberty of millions yet unborn. Act worthy of yourselves." What good advice that is from Dr. Joseph Warren. You see, our country has been in danger before, and before individuals, the people, made the difference. Then, when Dr. Joseph Warren made that great pronouncement or that challenge to the Massachusetts Congress, our country is in danger, but not to be despaired of. On you depend the fortunes of America. When he was talking to them, their great struggle that they were struggling against was the tyranny of King George and the oppression of Great Britain and the struggle for their liberty and their freedom. And what were they going to do with that? And so they had their own unique set of circumstances that they were fighting against. The country was in danger. You know, I was reading again this morning the Declaration of Independence, and of all the men who signed the Declaration of Independence, do you know what they did when they signed their names at the bottom of the Declaration of Independence? They were breaking the law. They were literally signing their death warrant, you might see, and many of them did die, and they suffered, and they said, "We pledge ourselves and our sacred honor by signing their names." And you know, one of the interesting names on there is John Hancock. And you know, sometimes even today, somebody will go to sign something, and they'll say, "Come put your John Hancock right here." And so John Hancock, the reason his name is mentioned is because he signed his name larger than everybody else. He wanted the world to know, "I am for this. I'm not ashamed of this." And so they had a set of circumstances that they were battling against, and that was the tyranny of King George, and that was the freedom and the liberty of America. And then Ronald Reagan, when he came into president, to be the president of the United States, the great threat against America at that time was communism. And our enemies in Russia, and they were making great threats, and there was problems. There was problems in Iran when President Reagan came in to be president. Some of you may remember the hostage situation over there in Iran. Isn't it interesting? You know what our problem is today, and the greatest threat in the world probably is the situation with Iran once again. And so there was communism, and there was Iran. And today in America, there's socialism and the dismantling of the Constitution of the United States of America and the giving away of the sovereignty of our people to the United Nations. And so there's struggles. Our country is in danger even today. Well, we might say to ourselves, what can I do about this? Well, you're listening, and that's more than a lot of people would do. You know, there's a lot of people, they don't want to hear anything about anything. In fact, I had a cartoon I cut out of the newspaper a while back, and it was Blondie. Some of you know about Blondie and Dagwood and his hero sandwiches that he would make, and he goes to the barber. And, you know, that's one of the scenes that you see quite often in Blondie. And old Dagwood, you know, he goes to the barber, and he sits down in the chair, and he says, "Do you want me to tell you what's wrong with this country?" And the barber stops him in the next frame, and he says, "No, I don't want to hear it." And Dagwood, he's frustrated in the last scene that you see there, and he said, "That's what's wrong with our country." And, you know, that's how most, I would say, people are in this nation. They don't want to hear about anything like that. They don't want to, oh, that's a bummer, you know, to them. And I'd just rather watch American Idol or the ball game or something like that. Just eat, sleep, and be merry. And tomorrow will be what tomorrow is. But, you know, there's some that are listening and they're paying attention. And that's more than a lot of people do. So I appreciate you listening. You know, we have a great epidemic of apathy in our nation today. In our churches today, our problems are, for the most part, spiritual problems. And there's an apathy. And the word apathy means to be without feeling. Just don't care what the issues are, what the problems are, what the dangers are. But, you know, if you're listening, that means you care. And if you care enough, you just might do something. If you care enough, God might give you something to do. I think about many, many examples in the Bible. There's young David, and I love to read and study and preach out of 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Do you know David did more than all the armies of Israel? With a stone and a sling and some courage and a firm reliance upon the living God, you know, that's what he said when he went out to fight Goliath. He said, "I come to you in the name of the God of Israel, the living God." And he went out and he shut the giant's mouth. He had enough courage and enough grace of God to do that. And so God uses individuals. God uses unlikely individuals. You know, I would have chose Saul to go out and fight the giant, because the Bible tells us that in Israel, Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else. So he was the nearest thing the children of Israel had to a giant. And I would have chose Saul, or I would have chose one of David's older brethren, or somebody else that was a experienced combat veteran. But God uses the unlikely, and God used David, and God put his spirit upon David, and David wrought a mighty victory in Israel against Goliath. And I preached a message a while back out of the book of Esther, and you know, the Bible said that Mordecai sent a message to Esther. And he said, "Who knows, but thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." And I preached on the subject, desperate times call for desperate measures. And so Esther prayed and fasted for 3 days. And then she said, "I'll go in unto the king, and if I perish, I perish." We need some people that'll have a changed attitude about the times that we're living in. There's many examples in the Bible. Gideon and Joshua. Ronald Reagan told another story about the Arlington National Cemetery, and he put it like this, talking about across the Potomac. His message, or his speech, was about self-government and the heroes that we have. We still have heroes in America, but he went down through the Washington Memorial and the Lincoln Memorial and the Jefferson Memorial and some of those things. And then he said, across the Potomac, he said, there on the other side of the river, on the slopes, is the Arlington National Cemetery, with its row on row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. And you know, as I read that, I thought, the president today wouldn't stand up and draw attention to the fact that the Arlington National Cemetery was full of markers that had either a cross or a Star of David. Now, the Muslims and the atheists, they're free to come to this country and to say what they want to say and live how they want to live. But I'll tell you, you ought to thank whoever you worship for your freedoms that you have, because more than likely somebody who was for Christianity or for Judaism that got their ideas and beliefs and courage from the Word of God fought and died so you could have the liberty to believe in nothing or to believe in a fairy tale, whatever it is you believe in. But he drew the distinction there, that in the Arlington National Cemetery, the row after row of simple white markers bearing crosses are stars of David. I thought that was interesting. He said under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We are told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf under the heading, My Pledge, he had written these words, America must win this war. Therefore, I will work. I will save. I will sacrifice. I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost, as if the issue of the whole struggle depended upon me alone. Boy, I got some inspiration out of that. You know, we should never underestimate the power and the influence of individuals in this great nation that we call America, and I don't know about anyone else, but that encourages me that by the grace of God, I want to do what He has for me to do. And you know, the wonderful thing about being a Christian, it's not just that you have some fire insurance. You know, a lot of people, they say, oh, I'm saved, I know if I die, I go to heaven. That's wonderful. You know, you ought to know that. And you ought to have a time and a place in your heart and in your life where you can go back to and you can say, I know that's where I was born again. I know that's where the Lord saved me and changed me and made a new creature out of me. I'm thankful I've got a place in my life I can go back to and say, the Lord saved me by His marvelous grace when I was 9 years old at Brushy Fork Baptist Church at the end of the service. I'm telling you, you ought to have a place and you ought to have a time that you can go back to and say, that's where you met the Lord. That's where He changed you and made a new creature out of you. But I'm telling you, it's better than that. The Lord, I don't care who you are, the Lord can use you if you'll give your heart and your life to Him. The Lord has something that He wants for you to do, and He has something that He wants for me to do. Do not underestimate. You say, I'm just one. Hey, that's good. That's who the Lord uses. Read and study your Bible. You'll find over and over and over again, it's not the collective group that makes the difference. Study your American history. It's not the collective group. It's the individuals that done what's right by the grace of God. And if everyone would do that, there would be hope. I'm talking about real hope once again for the United States of America. Ask God to give you something to do, and do it by the grace of God, and you'll not be sorry. So I hope that'll encourage somebody today to just do what God would have you to do. I'm thankful the Lord's still using individuals. Thank you for listening. Noah's going to come on and give our contact information. Have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. This has been Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone.
On the North Carolina News Network.